morning, so I see a couple of new faces, and I just want to say welcome on behalf of New Hope Christian Assembly. I just pray, and our prayer is you encourage through the worship as we worship together the Lord and the fellowship that we have together, and also when we hear from the Word of God. That is our prayer, that when you come in this place, when you come into New Hope Christian Assembly, you will sense the love of Jesus Christ among us. So once again, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. And it's nice to see you all here this morning among us. So I want to have a couple of announcements to share. One announcement to share. And also then we're going to be going through the Word of God this morning. I just pray that I'm not going to mess up or lose my thought this morning. But as you look in your bulletin, you see that there is a mission trip from Serbia that we'll be planning to do in 2018. We as a church, New Hope Christian Assembly, have a sister, Pastor Catherine Pizer, who goes to Uganda. She's a long-term missionary. She goes there for 3 months, 4 months, then she comes back and she stays with us for her husband for a month or two, and then she goes back. And I know she'll be leaving, Pastor Catherine will be leaving in a couple of weeks from now, and I know that next Sunday, we as a church are going to pray for her and bless her, and God's protection to be upon her, and also on this trip that she goes there. May the Lord use you in a mighty, precious way. So that's next week. We're going to pray for Sister Pastor Catherine and Brother or Pastor Alan Pizer. But we don't have like a trip that we go to Serbia, to Uganda, but we're going to look in the future to see if we can plan a trip for ourselves, groups that go out and just minister in Uganda. But this year, it's our first mission trip for New Hope Christian Assembly that we'll be going to Serbia, and it's August 2018. This is Serbia is something that I have at heart. It's years that I've worked with Serbia, and it's something that I want to start off with our church here, and whoever is interested in coming, we have to raise our own funds. So it's not the church is going to pay for you. You got to raise your own funds. So the cost is there. It's approximately $2,000 a person, all included. You have all the information right here on this pamphlet here. So if you're really interested in coming out and is serious about this, you just write your name down and telephone number, all that stuff there, your age, and you come and see me, because it's first come, first serve. We can't go 100 people. You know, we could do that, but it's going to have to be week after week after week. So we want to just start planning a trip. So the first come, first serve is the one who's going to go there for the first year. Amen? So I know we have already, some people already heard about this mission trip, and I think we have already 7 on the list. So I just want you to continue. If you really want to be there, just put your name down as fast as possible. If I don't get these forms, I think it's going to be very hard for you to go 2018. But we're going to be planning to do something for Uganda in the future, and maybe trips to go to Uganda and help out and be with the sister, Catherine Pizer in Uganda. So this morning, so if we have looked at that, just please do so. So this morning, we're going to be starting a new series. We've done the series on the ministry of Jesus for approximately 5 weeks, and now we're going to be doing on the teaching of Jesus. And my first one is the teaching of Jesus is loving Jesus. It's so amazing to see that some of the songs this morning is talking about loving Jesus and loving God more and so forth. And it was a wonderful atmosphere of praise, a wonderful atmosphere of worship in this place this morning. So it just prepared our hearts to hear from the Word of God. So in Luke chapter 7, that's what we're going to be looking at. It's always going to be in Luke, because we've looked at the ministry of Jesus. We looked in Luke, and now we're going to be studying again Luke and Luke chapter 7, verses 38 to 50. We don't have the scriptures up there, but that's a type, and I'm just going to read it with you this morning. So Luke chapter 7, that's not that sister, go behind. Later on is that. Luke chapter 7, we'll start at verse 36, okay? Then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered a Pharisee's house and reclined at a table. And a woman in the town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at a table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar and a fragrant oil and stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with his tears. She wiped his feet with the hair of her head, kissing them, anointing them with the fragrant oil. And the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He said to himself, "This man, as if he was a prophet, would know what kind of woman this who is touching him. She's a sinner." And Jesus replied to Simon, "I have something to say to you." Teacher, he said, say it. A creditor had two debtors and owned 500 denarii and the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one who forgave more. You have judged correctly. He told him, turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I've entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she, with her tears, has washed my feet and wiped them with my hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with olive oil, but she has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this man who is even forgive sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So this morning, Lord, we come to you with humble hearts, oh God. We come to you, Lord, to hear from your word. We ask of you, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to receive from you, Lord. Let there be no distraction this morning. But Lord, we'll be tuned to you and tuned to your voice and tuned to your word this morning, oh Lord. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. If you look at if you're familiar with the ministry of Jesus, you know the relationship that Jesus had the religious leaders, as the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees. There was some tension among them. The religious leader didn't speak highly of Jesus, and Jesus didn't speak highly of them also. Religious leaders are constantly advising the people about Jesus, and Jesus constantly warning the people about the religious leader. So there was tension among each other. And religious leader got out to their ways, to their crowds, and plot to get Jesus, and Jesus publicly shaming them. There was a tension between the Pharisees and Jesus and the scribes and Jesus, so there was tension among them. And if we look at this morning, we've read this, there's something extremely important right here. The issue is that Jesus, right through them, he sees beyond the mat. Jesus knows that they are playing a game. He knows all about them, and Jesus is not wanting more people to be led astray by the religious leaders. So Jesus constantly speaks in public about them. They wanted to do everything in the power to bring Jesus down. The gospel gives us highlights of the attention that the religious leaders towards Jesus, but Luke gives us something no other than the other gospels. He sees something very interesting here, and it starts off with the first thing in verse 36. It says, the one of the Pharisees invited Jesus. Now, it doesn't make sense. The Pharisees had a problem with Jesus, and the scribes had a problem with Jesus, and now this Pharisee, Simon, is inviting Jesus to the house. Doesn't that make sense? Now, if you have a problem with someone, will you invite them to your house? I don't think so. But there's a scope for the Pharisee. Now, we just pray that the Pharisee invited Jesus because they wanted to hear his teachings, or because they wanted to hear what he has done, or the preaching, or maybe he wanted to worship him, or maybe he wanted to bow down before him. But there's something strange about this. The Pharisee had invited Jesus for one purpose, is to try to find a way to get him down. But the Pharisee invited him, and what else happens? Jesus says, of course I'll come in, because Jesus is a friend for the sinners. So he goes into this house, and he sits down with this Pharisee, and we all know his name is Simon. He's a friend of a churchgoer sinner, and a friend of a non-churchgoer church. He's a friend of the white-collar sinner and the blue-collar sinner. No matter who invites Jesus, Jesus accepts the invitation. Why? Because Jesus is a friend of all sinners. So Jesus would eat with open sinners, and he would eat with the non-open sinners. He would eat with the prostitutes, but he would also eat with the ones who has the sin, the hidden sins inside. Jesus sat with everyone for one purpose, to lead them to him. That was his goal. He wanted to lead people to Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. So this guy, the Pharisee Simon, invites Jesus, and of course Jesus responds because he has something to tell this Pharisee. Most likely after Jesus preaching and teaching, he was invited by the Pharisee. We looked at Simon. He came to his house and eat with them. And we know that Jesus has accepted this invitation. So We don't know why the Pharisee invited him, but if we look at the tension between them, there's a reason why he invited Jesus into the house, because he wanted to get him down. That was the scope, is to hurt him and to get him down. And look at this. So he comes into this place. He comes into the house. And picture this. He was sitting and reclining. He was reclining at the table. I've mentioned this in a couple of sermons ago. That reclining is basically, the table was very low, and they were just getting on their elbow, and they reclined among each other, and they stayed among each other, and they just ate with each other. The closeness of everybody right there together. So they're right there reclining. Jesus was reclining at the table, and they're having fellowship, and they're having food. And you know that all of a sudden there was a lady from the town. It was a woman in that town in verse 37, and tells us it was a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. Now, a woman in that town could be just a woman in that town. You know what I'm saying? Just a woman who was walking around as a woman of the town, like the boy of the town. But in reality, there's a woman of that town, basically it's a woman who's living a kind of lifestyle. She was in prostitution. That was the life that she was having. That was the woman in town. So she hears about Jesus is there. She hears about Jesus probably teaching or preaching. And so what she do? She comes right into the house. What a strange thing to do. The Pharisee and this woman in town, they don't get along with each other. They cannot associate together, because when he's in the synagogue, she's outside the synagogue. They're just separated. And it doesn't make any sense that this woman just walks in and goes into someone's house and just sits down at the feet of Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. Wouldn't that be strange if you're having a party at home and all of a sudden someone from the street walks in and just comes right in into your house? I can guarantee everybody's going to say, "What are you doing here?" You will find that weird. But the Pharisee Simon, he didn't say anything. Isn't that weird? He just stood there. Maybe his mind is going, now there's a way to get him. So here's this, she comes in and goes to Jesus, and Simon the Pharisee just looks at her and doesn't even say a word. And I remember years ago, I was like that Pharisee, but not in the same scope or the same mindset of this Pharisee, please. I'm a little bit more holy. We were just at home, and all of a sudden, this woman just knocks out at her home. And as soon as we open the door, she walks right in and sleeps on my sofa. My wife and I just look, what is going on? What is she doing in her house? She just walked in, put the pillow, and fell asleep. And we're looking at each other. Ugh. But what happened to her is she was so drunk that she drove maybe 50 kilometers and ended up being right in front of my house. And she walked in the house. But you can see her face like, what just happened? So it's the same thing. This Pharisee looks at this woman that comes in. Doesn't say anything. Okay, she's here. We can't associate with her. But what is she here for? But we know the story very well. We know the story very well. So she comes in. So Simon doesn't hang out with a sinner. Cannot hang out with an unclean, unholy, or unrighteous person. She's not unwelcome. She's unwelcomed and she's unsolved. There's nothing that we have to associate with this woman. You can just see the face of them. So she walks right in, but she came with a purpose in her mind. And she came to anoint the feet of Jesus. Now, look at verse 37. A woman in that town who lived in a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came in there with an alabaster jar, a perfume. She was coming with this purpose in her mind, coming to anoint the feet of Jesus. Now, she had this alabaster jar tied around her neck, one expensive perfume, oil for the purpose. She needed this fragment oil. When she was, she used this because when she was going to lie with men, she put perfume on her and it smelled well so she can make some money. It was her living. It was her lifestyle. This is what she had. She took this. She was basically a prostitute. So what does she do? She comes in with one purpose in mind, comes this the alabaster jar to anoint the feet of Jesus. Now, this is a strange thing to do. Let's think of it for a moment. Anoint Jesus' feet. Usually it's odd, because anointing is anointing in the forehead is when we're praying for the sick. But you're coming to anoint the feet? Now, that's really for making the person feel welcome. Now, let me do something. If all the board members today, or even some brothers or sisters come here, and all the newcomers in this place this morning will come and say, we want to make you feel welcome this morning. So all the board members are going to be here. Come on the front, take off your socks, take off your shoes and socks. We're going to anoint your feet. Are you going to feel comfortable with that? Because if I guarantee you'll probably walk away, and a couple of seconds later, I will walk away with you. I've never seen somebody anoint feet. We usually anoint foreheads. But it's a weird thing to do. History started to anoint. She wanted to anoint the feet of Jesus. But there's a significance of that, this anointing Jesus' feet. So here it is. She comes and she wants to anoint the feet of Jesus. Came in mind the point that what's the most important thing? She wanted to anoint Jesus' feet. And this is what it says in verse 38. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and as she began to wash his feet with tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. This was huge. She never met Jesus in her life. So she pulls and gets on her knees and gets to anoint Jesus' feet. What a strange thing to do. But she does that. She does that. Now, like I said before, we have this special anointing in New Hope Christian Assembly. We have this special anointing. We want to anoint your feet. No, it doesn't make any sense. We don't anoint feet today. We've never seen those things happen today. And if we've seen that, there's a problem. I've never seen that happen. We washed feet. Yes, it's this time of service and humility. We want to serve you. But we've never done it in this church. Maybe we should do it one day to teach about serving one another. So she comes with one purpose in mind. She wants to anoint the feet of Jesus. Why do I say that? Because if we look at verse 37, she did not come there with a basin and a towel to wash his feet. Her purpose was to come there to anoint the feet of Jesus. But when she met Jesus, she just got down on her feet and started to weep and started to cry. And she couldn't contain the tears that she had on her face. She just dropped on his feet, and with her long hair that I don't have, with her long hair, she went there and she's wiping off the tears off his feet and washing his feet. That's amazing to see. See, she did not go there to cry and wash his feet. The purpose she went there in verse 37 is to anoint him. Because we've seen that she had the fragment, she had that jar with her. It did not say the basin, it did not say the towel. So it is important to understand that she went there for one purpose, to anoint the feet of Jesus. But she cried also. She couldn't contain the love. The words maybe that came out of Jesus was so loving, and she just started to bow down and cry before the Lord and just cry before him, and as he washed his feet with her tears. To wash the feet is one thing, but to anoint the feet was unheard of. And this is exactly what she did, to anoint Jesus' feet. So she came there with one thing in mind, and she came with her intention, because it was in verse 37, to anoint the feet of Jesus. It was a sign of honor, a sign of gratitude, a sign of humility, a sign of loving Jesus. She just wanted to love Jesus more. She wiped her tears with her hair, washed his feet over and over, and a sign of honor, sign of submission, a sign of humility, a sign of blessing. And then she takes out this alabaster jar and she does what she had to come to do and anoints the feet of Jesus. And everyone watching there was in awe. What is going on here? She is touching Jesus. It doesn't make any sense. They were just shocked. Most of the people who knew this woman, they never approached this woman here. And people might be saying in her mind, does Jesus know who she really is? She is just a sinner. Stop it. Stop her, what she's doing. It doesn't make any sense. Now, remember I said before, it didn't make any sense. Why didn't Simon stop her? Now, it won't happen to me, but I wish it could happen to me. But I'm in my house, and I'm just sitting down on my sofa, and I'm just all of a sudden watching some soccer game in Canada versus Jamaica, and Canada won. So I wanted to throw that out this morning. And I'm sitting down on this sofa, and all of a sudden this woman comes and starts to kiss my feet and starts to wash my feet and anoint my feet, and my wife was just looking. Do you think my wife is going to let it happen? Or do you think I'm going to be on the newspaper? She won't let it happen. She said, "What are you doing?" So here's Simon going there, and Jesus, she's doing everything, that sinner's doing everything to Jesus, and he just looks. What is happening? But I have different plans. His plan was crooked. His plan wasn't good. He wanted to get Jesus down, and he tried everything in his power. He wanted to, and he used this to try to get him down. Because we're going to look at the scriptures and see what was his saying, what was he trying to say. So Simon didn't stop her. He didn't even want her to be there. But he didn't stop her. So in the other hand, we see exactly why Simon did not stop her. And Simon had to believe one thing or the other, the two things that he had to believe in. One, Jesus did not know who is this woman, who this woman is. So that means he is not a prophet. Or two, but even worse, he does know who this woman is and is allowing her to do the thing she was doing. And this was exactly what he was thinking, because if we look in verse 39, we'll see. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for he's a sinner, for she is a sinner." So we can hear the attitude and the attitude of Simon right there, his voice in this verse. Simon concluded that she is the only sinner in that room. In his mind, he goes, she is the only sinner in that room there. And Jesus comes with this beautiful story later on. Because you're looking at the external part of a person, you know she's a prostitute. She's coming down there and you're judging her that she's bowing down before, and you're making her touch your feet. And he thinks that she's the only sinner there. But let me tell you something. Everyone is a sinner in that household. And every single one of us have sinned and lived a life of sin in this place this morning. So we can't judge of an appearance of a person and start saying, "Oh, he's sinning or she is sinning," because you see the external part of it. But God sees the heart of a person. And know what he tells us? Every one of us has sin and are sinners. So we can't judge and start looking around. So he thinks, "Oh, wow, what is she doing? Look at this, she's sinning. She's a sinner, why is he touching?" And he comes to his mind. Look at that verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited us, he spoke to himself, maybe mumbling to himself. He said to himself, meaning some of us might say the same thing. He spoke to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet." Now you see, it's even us, at times we can say, if the pastor knows who he is, why is he connecting with her? If the pastor knows who she is, who he is, why is he talking to her? He's a sinner. He's living that kind of lifestyle. You should not get close to that person there. But that person right there, as Simon was saying, he's just puzzled and he talks to himself. And many of us face the same thing. We look at someone in the appearance and says, "He's a sinner." But the moment you say that, you're a sinner. Because he comes with a beautiful story and he explains it well. It's amazing to see how Jesus responds to the scripture through us. Here it is. Simon had failed to know that the only person that was not a sinner in that room was Jesus himself. Verse 40 to 43, this is the story. And Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. You have to understand the story is very important right here. One owned 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who forgave more." And he said to them, "You have right. You have rightly judged." Interesting story. I don't know if Simon knew that the story was for him. Simon did not know it was for him. He had no idea. So Jesus shows us the story that there are two people who have much more in common than you can ever imagine. They both had a problem. And we'll look at it together this morning. Now, the two outward were differently, socially, morally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way, too. Simon and this woman were two different people altogether, two different lifestyles. He was like a scribe, reading. He knew the law and all that, lived by the law, all that stuff there. So she would never go to his house, and he would never go to her house, to her place. She would never go to the synagogue, and he would off, and he would never get close to her. They were from a distance away from every way. But through this parable, Jesus is showing us one thing here. He loves beyond the surface, and they got a lot more in common than you can ever imagine. They're both the outward. Are both differently, but there's something inside. They're both sinners. And that's the beauty of it. If someone who's living that kind of lifestyle and lifestyle of prostitution, and someone who is in a church and just criticizes all the time, they're both sinners. They're both the same boat. You're not better. There's only one person who does not sin, who have never sinned, and that is Jesus Christ himself. So who are we to judge? So Jesus shares the story. Look at this, so interesting here. First point, they're both debtors. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and one owned 500 denarii and the other 50. One owned for a couple of years of work and the other a couple of months of work. But the reality, they both owned money. They were both in debt. If you owe $5, you owe $15, you're both in debt. Am I right? It doesn't mean how much the quantity it is, but if you owe $5, you owe $15, you're both in debts. So we're both the same. So both of them were living in debt right there. Second thing is, they're not able to pay their debts off. So if you owe $15 and you owe $5, if you can't pay, both of you can't pay it, you're both in the same shoe, in the same box. You both can't pay it. The Bible tells us they had nothing with which to repay. So he freely gave them both, to them with therefore, which of them will love him more? Both of them were in the same place, had no money to pay up back this thing. You see that they more alike that you can even imagine. They're both the same. Both in debt and both unable to pay it back. Not only they were both in debts, not only they both can't pay it back. Third point is, they both are in desperate need of grace. Now, in verse 41 and 42, it tells us this. There was a certain creditor had two debtors, one owned 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing which to repay, he freely what? Forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? He graciously forgave them both. He canceled the debt of both. And the only hope that in this situation is that the money lender will forgive them both. Now, let me tell you something. You and I can guarantee you here, if you have a mortgage, you want a miracle of God that the bank is going to call you and say, I'm going to pay your debt off. My eye, it's not going to happen. You can dream on. I just pray that, a TD Bank will call me and says, Roberto, we just love, we're just in a good spirit today. We love you. We want to pay off your mortgage. Hallelujah, I'm going to say. But that's not going to happen. Only a miracle of God needs to happen to do something like that. We all want that. But both needed the grace. Both needed a touch from God. Both needed the money lender to say, I'll pay it both off. And that's what he tells us. You need the same grace. It doesn't mean in mortgage aspect of it. They want debts. Because the more you have debts, the more money they make. So it's very hard for someone to do that. So the story explains is they both needed the grace of the money lender. And the story for us, both of you, in what status you are in your life with Christ. You can live a lifestyle that he's doing, or she was doing, and I just pray not to. But you can live a lifestyle inside like a Pharisee and just looking around. But you both need the grace of God. We both need the grace of God in our lives. And we need that. As we looked at verse, pay those debts off. See, the outward, two different people in every way. But Jesus shows us that they were much more alike than we can ever imagine. Both in debts, both had no money to pay them back. They both in desperate need for a miracle to relieve from their debt. And the problem is this, of all this, Simon just can't see it. He has no understanding why Jesus was there. Simon did not see himself as a debtor and as the woman. He didn't get it at all. And Jesus is teaching us a very simple parable, and it is this. How deeply your love is determined by how clearly you see. The more your love is with Christ, the more you will see it. The more you will see your faults, the more you will see yourself and say, man, the more you spend time with God, the more you're determined to spend time with God, the more God's examining you, examining yourself and working in your life. But if you're not looking and deeply in love with God, you can just look around and criticize and judge everybody. He did not see it. He knew everything, but he did not see it. He did not see it because he didn't have that love for God. Jesus said to him in verse 43 to 48, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I've entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Look at that. You're coming and you invite me to my house and you don't even give me water. You don't even give me nothing for my feet. I was accustomed to wash the feet when someone comes inside the house. So you give me no whatsoever water for my feet. Where am I now? Because I can't see too well from here. Let me get to my notes. Since I'm losing my eyesight. Do we have a good insurance for glasses over here? See this woman? Do you want water for my feet? But she was washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and her head. You gave me no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, but she loved much. But the whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Think about these two responses. Simon did not honor Jesus at all. He didn't wash his feet. It wasn't mandatory, but he did not kiss Jesus at all. He did not anoint him, but she showed us something that you and I can do daily to go at the feet of Jesus and to honor him and to bow down before him and to acknowledge who he is and what he has done for our lives. But if you want to honor someone, all these things, you got to do much more than these things. She went out and honored Jesus. They both treated Jesus differently. And there's people within in our body of Christ which treat the Jesus differently. Now, some of them might just take Jesus as just a person itself, but someone takes him as a savior. Someone would take them as a relationship with Christ. Spending time with him at the feet of Jesus. Spending time with him at the altar. Spending relational time with him. Quality time in prayer with God. How are you taking Jesus in your life? Do you take it lightly? Do you take it like the Pharisee? Do you take it like the woman that went and bowed down before Jesus and wept at the feet of Jesus and she just washed his feet with her tears? You know that the tears or the only thing that's going to save someone's life. His attitude was a form of self-righteousness, like, holy, I am more holy than thou. Simon looked at her, and seeing an immorality was such worse, the open sin was worse than the hidden sin, but they're both the same in the eyes of God. The outward sin and the inward sin are both the same in the eyes of God. The Pharisee looked and says, what are you doing? Do you understand that she's a sinner? Look at her. Look at her appearance. She doesn't look good. She's not a good woman to be with. And he's judging her for a purpose because he wants to get Jesus down. I'm going to repeat this, New Hope Christian Assembly friends. Listen to this, please. You see, if you don't see yourself as a sinner, you are never going to see your need for grace. If you don't see yourself as a sinner, you are never going to see your need for grace. The day that I have realized that I was living in sin, the day that I realized that I was living in sin and I was doing the opposite of the Word of God, living in a life of drugs, living a life of gang. The day that I have seen that I was living that kind of lifestyle, then I seen that I needed Christ in my life. Open my eyes and say, I need you, Lord. But if you don't see the sin of your life, you're never going to see it. You're never going to see the way Jesus, the way you should see it. He's just going to look at us and say, I am perfect. I'm holy than all of you. I'm better than all of you. Because my outward, it looks a lot better than your outward look. But we're all the same in the eyes of God. We all need the grace of God. We're both, all of us, in debt. And I need a grace from God to set me free daily. Because every single day we make mistakes. Every single day we fail. Every single day we offend God by our actions. You know the story of a good Samaritan? And I'm going to share with that next week, the good Samaritan. Do you think you're a good Samaritan? Because you helped once, twice, three, four, five times, you're not a good Samaritan. He is the good Samaritan. He's the only one who's the good Samaritan and helps us to be the good Samaritan. Because we all failed. We all walked by someone's life. Amen? We all did one time. So it is here for you don't see yourself as a sinner if you're never going to see your need for Christ, for grace. The woman saw her debt, Simon didn't. The woman saw her need for grace, Simon didn't. They didn't see the same Jesus. Simon saw Jesus as a figure, but the woman saw Jesus who he really was, who really is. She saw Jesus, gracious moneylender. She saw Jesus as a savior, the one who would give her the hope. Think about it for a moment. She did not even being used. She was not valued. She had been abused. She was not loved. She had been hurt. And she was been hurt all the time. She knew that no one even wanted her. She was living a life of shame. She hated herself. That's not a good life to have. And she just hated herself and put her down, that kind of lifestyle. She cannot even hold it anymore. She couldn't even raise her hand. She didn't want to. But when she just met Jesus, she didn't care about anybody else that was beside him. She was one thing that she wanted, one intention, one purpose, is to bow down before the face of Jesus. And that's what she did. And that's what she's teaching us, to bow down to Jesus daily and say, I need you, Lord. I need you more than yesterday, Lord. Because we're all living that life of sin. We're not perfect people. And if you think you're perfect, let me know how you're being perfect like that. Because I want to be the same. But you can't. I can't. Because we fail every single day of our life. Jesus sees her and treasures her. And says, I value you. And I want you to be in my life. I want to take you. I want to work in your life. He saw the worth in her. He saw dignity in her in the way she have never experienced. This man called Jesus looked at her and says these words, I love you because I came for you. If you're here for the first time, Jesus loves you and he came for you. He came for you the way he came for me. And he's telling you this morning, I want to take all your guilt away. The way he said to do, I want to take all your guilt away, all your shame, all your loneliness. If you're lonely, I want to fill that loneliness up. And I want to fulfill your heart this morning. All your hatred, I want to take it off of you and give you love and give you joy and give you peace that you're longing for. Not only that I want to remove it all, I also want to pay it for you. I already paid it for you on the cross. If you know the Greek that you need Christ, you will open it up and you will see it, that you need him. You will see that you need the grace of God. But Simon did not see himself in all the weakness in his heart, but he certainly did not see Jesus. So then he turned to the woman and said to Simon in verse 44, do you see this woman? I have entered in your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them away from my hair of the head. Jesus looks in the eyes of Simon, and Simon does not. Jesus sees her life loved, washed by the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Simon sees her dirtiness, but Jesus sees her clean. Simon sees and says she's unrighteousness, But Jesus sees and looks at her and says, you're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. When Simon looked at her, he sees her past, but Jesus sees her future. And Jesus sees your future. He does not look at the past. He has forgiven to you. He has forgiven. He will not look at that. He will look at your future and say, look, and I have a better plan for your life. It's because how deeply you love is determined by how deeply you will see. If you don't love Jesus the way you should, it's because you don't see Jesus the way you should. In the context like this, it's easy to wear a mask week after week and act like everything is okay. We go to our places and everything looks good. We have a nice suit on. We have a nice dress on. Nice cologne. Nice perfume. We just go in and everything looks good. But acknowledge, unless you acknowledge the sin in your heart and the hidden attitudes of a hidden desire or the complaining or the whining or the hypocrisy or the grumbled attitude towards Christ, unless you see the acknowledge that you would never want Jesus in your life. But once you get real about your life and in the depth of your pain and the shame of your own sin and you see yourself as a sinner, you embrace Jesus as a Savior. And the reason we don't love the way we should love is because we don't see the way we should see it. So while I was meditating to this word, and I said, Lord, help me to see this clearly. I said, Lord, how can I bring this story about this woman that was a prostitute and the Pharisee? What is my outcome? Lord, what is it that you want us to bring to what want me to bring to the church? Simple as it is what I've learned this morning. We're both sinners. We're all sinners, and Christ came for us. But I also learned, say, Lord, what else could you teach me, Lord? What else can you teach us? I seen the humility of this woman. She says, I need Jesus more than ever. And that is my prayer that us as a church, as a family of God, we will seek the face of God daily. Because we all failed. We all fallen short. Amen? We all fallen short. And fell and sinned and said something wrong. Open your eyes. Let's not judge on the ones of the outwards and say, wow, look, he or she is sinning. Because while you're already saying that, you're already sinning yourself. Instead, encourage and says, let's get together and worship the Lord together. Because once we do that, we're just crushing someone down. But we need to understand he came for all. Not just for the prostitutes, not just for the Pharisees, he came for all. Every single one of us he came for. And I thank God daily that he came for you and I. Because I want him more in my life. I want him more in my life this morning. So she entered and she had one thing in mind. She intended to anoint the feet of Jesus. And this is my question to you. What was your intention when you came here this morning? Was your intention to come here just to hear, or just to hear praise and worship and, all right, it was a good service, go home? Or was your intention to come here to really to know who Jesus is? If we came here because we really wanted to know who Jesus is, you will meet that Jesus was here. Her intention was to go there and to anoint his feet. My intention is to go every day when we get into the presence, when we get into a church service, my intention is, Lord, I want to see more of you. Because the day that you live a couple of hours, even a couple of hours without Christ, you are sinning. And we desperately need the grace of God in our life daily. Let's all stand for a moment. As the band will come forward, we will just conclude with the song this morning. I want to sing this song, if we all know it. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. To worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Do we know that song? Can we sing it together this morning? And just tell him this. And this is how it ended up. In verse 50 says, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So this morning, as we come to the conclusion, this is what I want to tell you. If you have not met Christ as your personal Savior, very simple is ask him to come into your life. Have that faith. Says, Lord, if you're really there, come into my heart. I acknowledge you, Father, and I need you in my heart today. Forgive me of my sins. And you know how he's going to respond to you? Your faith will save you. Accept him as your personal savior. If you have never done so, accept him as your personal savior. And this morning, even for the ones who have walked away from God, who have walked away from the things of the Lord, and you know, you were in the presence of God, you were there, you were worshiping God, you were serving him, you were doing everything for him, you were right there in the service, but something has happened into your life and you walked away from him. Jesus wants to give you that second chance again this morning. The only thing that you got to do is go to him by faith, and he will save you this morning. And he will take you this morning. So I know there's others here this morning that have failed. So as we sing this song, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, I want to make just an appeal for the ones who have backslidden for a bit. The ones who have walked away from Christ, I want to encourage you to come unto the front. I want to anoint you. I want to pray for you this morning. And for the ones who want to meet Christ as a personal Savior for the first time, I want to pray for you. If you walked away from God and you say, you know, I need to draw closer to God this morning, just tell him that I love you this morning. Just tell him that I love you this morning. Let's sing it together. I love you, Lord.